We have a few amendments that we're putting in our homework pile this morning, so maybe we could look at those, some of those anyway.
Identical.
All right, so we had a Senate A83 amendment this morning on FIP, cleanup language regarding the Family Stabilization Service. The amendment was handed out this early afternoon, so you should have it in your packets.
Madam Chair, I'd move the A83 amendment.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, the amendment is adopted. Then we had a Senate proposal to accept from the continuing care article, Senate Section 14 rather than House Section 30. This was in regard to transitional long-term consultation. It's on page R31 of the article. I really don't care what we do, just could we do something?
Madam Chair, I would move Senate Section 14. That's one where our language said over 65 and theirs said age independent.
Does that have a number?
It was not an amendment. It's just in, it's on page R31 of the continuing care article.
Well, we would be adopting the Senate language, Section 14.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion is adopted. I believe there was a Senate A91 amendment that was distributed this morning, early afternoon. A91 amendment dealing with penalty for late PCA assessments.
That's not been distributed yet.
Oh, it's not been distributed. Could we distribute that then? It's a Senate provision and was a floor amendment, and people have been doing some work to make it work better.
Madam Chair, I would move the A91 amendment, and then I would make an oral amendment on line 113 to change the 30 to a 60.
We also need that on page 2.
It's
2, line 26.
And the same amendment to that on line 226, change the 30 to a 60.
Members, the purpose of this amendment is to make sure that the organization that has to do the assessment is getting notice that it's time to do the assessment in a timely enough manner so they can be then expected to do the assessment in a timely enough manner so people are not losing their PCAs because they don't have an assessment done. Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? The amendment is adopted. In the continuing care article, House Section 19, deals with the Minnesota Help Information Database. The recommendation is that the Senate accept House Section 19. We would still be holding on the section that deals with reverse mortgage, but we would be adopting the language regarding the Minnesota Help Information Database. Continuing care article is Article
4.
Seems like it's 4 every year.
Okay, Madam Chair, I would move that we adopt the House 19 on R16 of Article 4.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? The motion is adopted. Then we have an A92 amendment. It needs to be distributed.
Madam Chair, I'll move the A92 amendment.
Members, this amendment will reduce the number of categories that would be in the Family Stabilization Services Program and also modify the requirements in the bill regarding work while in post-secondary education. Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? The motion is adopted. Now, we handed out earlier today an A94 amendment, and we have been told since we handed it out that there is a fiscal impact of part of the amendment, so before we move the amendment, we need to delete starting on page 3.9. 3.4. I think it's 3.9 through 3.14. So you can just cross that off and consider that not part of the A94 amendment.
And
one third cross.
Representative Thiessen.
Yeah, I'm not sure if that's adding that.
Madam Chair, I was also wondering if we could, or whoever makes the motion, on line 212, to add the word.
Yes, I can offer it then. On line 212, after the word community, insert "and adjacent communities."
Okay, I think that's acceptable. We'll just incorporate that into the amendment. Representative Huntley moves the A94 amendment as it's been modified. Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? The motion is adopted. Then we had this morning handed out some language about the e-records data privacy bill, and House has had time to look at that language now, and I think they are ready to adopt it with some changes to the language.
Is the A12, Madam Chair?
A12, yes.
And did the handwritten stuff get handed out? It's coming. Well, I have. It hasn't come. This is the amendments that people will be getting here shortly are largely accepting the changes the Senate made, with one exception, and that has to do with representation that was deleted in the Senate Judiciary Committee yesterday, but we'd like to, but was passed through the House, and we'd like to include that language. The rest of it is largely technical.
Members, I do believe that it will be pretty impossible to have interoperable records without taking that language out and adopting the House language instead.
I apologize for the handwritten form, but
it's okay. We
doing what I can.
Can't wait for typists, yeah. Always.
So, Madam Chair, I would move the handwritten amendment to the A-12 amendment.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? The motion is adopted.
Now I'll move the A-12 amendment.
Representative Huntley moves the A-12 amendment as amended. Those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? The motion is adopted.
And Madam Chair, that motion was to actually replace the House language with this language?
Yes.
Okay.
This is what came. So I think that's, I think Senator Lynch had an amendment.
I'd like to hold on that.
All right. Senator Prettner-Solon.
Madam Chair, we've been working on this. This is to Article 3. This was the language about the county-based purchasing. Are you ready for that amendment?
I'm ready for it. I don't think we really need to have the provision in the bill with the amendment, but
Well, we changed it again.
Oh, all right.
I worked with Ms. Kavanagh, and we've changed it again. And it's the A-101 amendment.
We have the amendment distributed.
Madam Chair.
Senator Corrigan.
Madam Chair, could Senator Prettner-Solon talk about this a little bit, the amendment? Does this relate to Section 56 on Article 3?
Senator Prettner-Solon's motion is simply to amend the Senate position. I think then if people want to look at it a little bit more before they decide whether they want to adopt it. Fine.
Madam Chair, it is Section 56 of Article 3. And basically... Basically, what this does is state that those counties that elect to participate in county-based purchasing must reinvest their profits into health care programs, services, or activities.
And Madam Chair.
Senator Coring.
Madam Chair, if some of the members that were here last year remember correctly, I was successful in getting an amendment passed so that I could have Morrison County, Crow Wing County, which are counties that I represent, and Cass and Todd, and I think one other county, to start providing county-based purchasing. And I am actually opposed to this. I think that the counties that I represent, they're already reinvesting that in outreach and so on and so forth. And so I just think it just ties their hand. They're putting their money on the line, and I just don't think we need to do this. And I would just voice my opposition to this amendment.
Any further discussion? Senator Prettner-Solon.
Madam Chair, if any county is already doing this, there's no reason for them to object to this.
Well, Madam Chair, I don't think that if there's any extra money, I don't think they're going out and building roads and investing it in that. They're investing it in health care. And I just think if we're for local control, we should just leave it be the way it is.
Madam Chair.
Senator Prentner-Solon, and then I think we do understand the issue.
Madam Chair, basically this is specifically to prohibit reinvesting those funds in roads, which we have heard are some of the intended purposes of those profits.
Any further discussion of the A101 amendment, which simply amends the Senate position? Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion is adopted. I think that's all the amendments I know of.
Madam Chair, there is a...
Representative Thiessen.
There is an A97, I think, that Senate Council has that does one more thing in the Health Records Act language we just adopted.
All right. Nice to get that finished.
And that would finish. What?
To get that finished.
I agree. So
that would be a policy article piece.
Yes. I think this is it. And this actually reinstates some Senate language that when we, I think, did the House amendment, this came out. So I'd like to put this back in. It just requires a signed and dated consent and just tightens up the language.
Representative Thiessen moves the A97 amendment. Everyone has the amendment. Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? The amendment is adopted.
Madam Chair. Madam Chair.
Representative Walker.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like to move an oral amendment on Article 12, R69. On line 535.9,
right,
to strike African born and insert foreign born.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? The motion is adopted.
Madam Chair.
Oh, excuse me. Representative Clark.
Madam Chair, I have an amendment that I'd like to close to House language. It's A172. Pages have it. I guess we need a page to pass it out.
So, Representative Clark moves the A-172 amendment that amends the House language. Is there any discussion of the amendment?
Madam Chair, let me just run through it briefly. Basically, what we're doing here is making some changes that the Department of Health requested changing a risk standard to would be health-based value, including a child-based value. This has to do with the arsenic poisoning that's happening in areas, in, especially in South Minneapolis, in the district, at least three of us here. And so we want to make sure that we can actually get some accurate and human-based, health-based values set up, which we do not yet have, believe it or not. We also clarify that one of the things that we want to do is a feasibility study. The health department has requested we use that language to describe part of the study. Going on, those are from line 1.1 to 1.9. From 110 going down, we're changing the dates when these studies would need to be done and reported to the legislature back about 6 months in several cases so that we give the health department more time to do the studies. We have funded these studies in the House bill, and the department has requested that we give them more time, so that's what we're doing. And we have deleted some language that they found objectionable around some things dealing with contaminants in well water. The last part deals with the various studies that are listed there are ones that are been prioritized below, and those deal with, again, the arsenic, with radiation, with phthalates, and with lindane, and we put those in a sequence that will help the health department figure out how to prioritize them. The last thing we do
discussion
on the last page is, on the back side of the page, is to clarify, again, for the health department that the amount of appropriations available for them to do the well water contamination study is $200,000.
So, Representative Clark, does this change your spreadsheet?
No, it doesn't. It just clarifies the language, the order of. It takes out some language that the health department wanted us to take out. It puts in language they wanted us to put in, and.
No, I meant the change of 100,000 to 200,000.
No, because it's from an existing pot of money. We're saying of this money instead of 100,000. We're saying 200,000 of this existing. I guess it changes. It slightly, but it doesn't provide any more money or put it out of any balance. It's within an existing pot of money.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed. The motion is adopted to amend the House language.
Madam Chair, it just found out that the amendment that we replaced the language for the HIV DHS. Let me know that there was a line that we did not do that needed to be done.
Or we could just instruct the staff to incorporate that into
that
the
works.
Amendment.
Madam Chair, the House
Your
members
point.
Are so soft-spoken, I can't hardly hear them when they do speak. I know you guys are wonderful people, but it's really hard to hear you over here for some reason.
Right. We have the spreadsheet. Shall we?
I think there's some Senate language we can adopt if you want to do that right now.
That would be fine.
Okay. It's in Article 7, page R23 and R24. Kind of parallel provisions, but the Senate language is I think later and improved. So it would be to adopt lines on page R23 of Article 7, lines 164 through 164.28 through 165.10, so the bottom of the page there. And on R24, to adopt basically everything on that page. On R25, lines 187.16 to 185.23. And there's two oral amendments then to be made to that, if I may. 165.15, delete except for subdivision, and delete line 165.16.
All right, so why don't we start with the oral amendment as an amendment to the Senate language. Is there any discussion of that amendment?
Madam Chair, we can't hear a thing. We don't know anything that was
okay. Line R24. There we go. Page R24 in Article 7. Okay, the first would be to amend the Senate language on line 165.15. After 2007, delete the comma and except for subdivision and insert a period. And delete line 165.16.
Any discussion of that amendment? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The amendment is adopted.
Another amendment to the Senate language, on again on page R24, on line 155.28. Well, I guess on 155.27, at the end of the sentence, at the end of that line, delete the comma and insert a period. And on 155.28, delete subdivision 3.
Could you just repeat that, Representative Thiessen? Could you repeat your amendment?
We're just,
and then maybe you could just give a word of explanation.
For deleting the subdivision.
Right. This is,
yes. Again, it is to on 155.28 to delete subdivision 3 from the language, and it's really a technical thing that just puts it in order when we adopt the whole amendment. There is no subdivision 3 necessarily referred to anymore.
Okay. Any discussion of that amendment? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The amendment is adopted.
And then the language we'd like to adopt from the Senate is on R23, starting at line 164.28. To the bottom of the page, all of the language on page R24 and on R25, lines 187.16 to 187.23.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? That language is now adopted. Okay, then. On Mr. Waltz to go through the House offer spreadsheet.
Madam Chair, I believe everyone has a copy of the most recent offer. The House offer is in the center column. I will just start with the changes from the previous offer, and these will be shaded. So the first one appears on page 3. Line 186, the House removed the proposal to repeal the MFIP housing penalty. Below that, the House has removed the prohibited purchases and transaction fees on the EBT cards. The House has included repeal of the MFIP family cap to match up with the Senate. Madam Chair, on line 216, the House has removed adding two participant groups to MFIP hard-to-employ category and also removed the MFIP work hours for employed hardship extensions, both of those to match up with the Senate. Madam Chair, on page 4, the House has included the Senate proposal to give a work bonus of $75 for 24 months. In MFIP. On line 270, the House has included the Senate provision for MFIP work support grants for counties. On line 287, included half of the Senate's proposal for integrated service projects for MFIP families. The next change is on page 5. The basic sliding fee wait list, the House has reduced its proposal to $3.675 million per year. Madam Chair, moving to page 7. The House proposal would include the Senate language on DISH that picks up the
carry forward.
The carry, well, it would be the claiming the expenditures or the public certified public expenditures in the 06-07 biennium. Madam Chair, moving to page 8, the House has removed the client medical access mileage adjustment from its proposal. On page 9, the House has included the delay of autism services that the Senate had proposed earlier today. Madam Chair, on continuing to page 10, the House has removed its provision for disabled parental contribution modifications. And on line 740, the House has removed the federal waiver from this proposal. Madam Chair, the next change.
Can you just explain that to us a little bit here?
Madam Chair, Larry.
Sorry. Madam Chair, from my understanding is that the intention of this language for employing people above 65 for MAPD still could be done without the federal waiver, and that some things need to be done at the federal level first to change some of their regulations before a waiver can be pursued. And with the fiscal note, we just removed the costs associated with obtaining that waiver. And from the individuals that I've spoken to, that's acceptable.
So we would just have this be kind of a state program?
Madam Chair, from my understanding, yes, for now, with the hopeful intention to get a waiver into the future, but we have to work with the federal government a little more on that.
Thank you. Mr. Walls?
Madam Chair, continuing on page 12, the House has picked up three provisions from the Senate's last offer, the expanding Minnesota care eligibility to homeless by lifting the address requirement, waive Minnesota care premiums for military members and families, and eliminating Minnesota care premium increases. Madam Chair, on page 13, long-term care payment adjustments on line 975, the House proposal has a 3% COLA for nursing homes in 08. It can, on that line, that also includes, I believe, ICFMRs and DTNHs. Those would receive a 3% COLA in 09. But in 09, if you look down on line 1003, the House provides disparity adjustments to the peer group one for the peer groups two and three, starting in 09 and continuing in 10 and 11. Madam Chair, on line 1011, the House has removed dollars for nursing facility increase for sprinkler systems. And Madam Chair, on line 1022, actually it is line 1023 and line 1025, the House has added back dollars for Martin Luther Manor and Mason's Home that were excluded from our last offer. Madam Chair, the House has removed its proposal on line 1040 for financially stressed nursing facilities. Under the mental health initiatives, the House has made several changes to better line up with the Senate. The supportive housing was left unresolved and is not included in the Senate offer, as well as some other costs.
Still in the Senate offer.
The House offer. Excuse me. And Madam Chair, on line 1168, there are two small provisions from House File 196 that continue to remain in the House offer. That is eliminating Minnesota co-pays for mental health services, as well as a regional children's mental health pilot.
Those were in our last offer to you.
Madam Chair, yes, that's correct. And the Senate on the top of page 16 has also included an MFIP pilot project that the House continues to have remaining from House File 196. Madam Chair, I believe the next change is on page 18. The House has included an increase to the base of positive alternative grants of $250,000 per year.
Madam Chair, can I ask a question at that point?
Could we just wait till we finish going through the spreadsheet? Thank you.
Madam Chair, the next change that I see begins on page 22, and there are several like changes throughout the rest of the bill that bring the House in line with the Senate's position on 3 and 3 colas for the Veterans Home Board, emergency medical services compensation adjustments. The House also is accepting the Senate language on the disabled persons assistive technology, as well as a reduction in the options to disability service and the compensation adjustments again at 3 and 3 for Council on Disability, Ombudsman for Mental Health and Mental Retardation, and Ombudsman for Families. And Madam Chair, that completes all of the changes from the last House offer.
Thank you. Questions? Corning.
Madam Chair, if we could go back to page 18, I have a question on the positive alternative grants. I thought the House, in their first proposal, they had the positive alternative grants fully funded. Is that incorrect?
That's correct.
I believe they had them fully funded, yes.
And so what does this do then? Does it reduce it down some? Or?
Madam Chair, Senator Corning, it increases their allotment.
Okay. Okay. So the allotment was $2.4 million over the biennium, so you're increasing it. So then you're going to up then from 2.4?
Senator Corning, that would be correct.
Okay.
It's nothing like getting us closer. Any other questions?
I have a question about your... Can I do that now?
Sure. Representative Huntley.
Chair Berglund, we had a question about the rebasing proposal that you had for nursing homes.
Yes.
And we were interested in that, but we received some concerns that the Senate approach might not work, and we were wondering specifically if it would cost more than is shown, if there's somebody from the Department of Human Services that could comment about that.
Is there someone from the Department of Human Services that could come to the table to answer questions about rebasing?
Mr. Held.
Welcome, Mr. Held.
Madam Chair.
Representative Huntley, do you want to restate your question?
Madam Chair and Mr. Held, we kind of like the Senate rebasing, but we understood that there was some problems with that and that it might not work the way they had it written. And we wanted to know if you could give us some information about that. They had rebasing starting in the second year of the biennium, I believe.
Mr. Held?
Madam Chair, Representative Huntley, I guess I'm not sure what you're asking. What aspect of it are you talking about might not work?
Madam Chair and Mr. Held, we were wondering if the cost that was in their spreadsheet was correct or if it was not going to cost more.
Madam Chair, Representative Huntley, the costs in the Senate side on the spreadsheet, I believe, are... I believe are a plug, and the the language in the phase-in would have to be adjusted to meet any particular set of dollar values that are in there. We can do that. That is something we can do.
Right. I think what Mr. Held is saying is that it's scalable. And depending on how much money put in there for the first phase, the language would have to reflect that. But that is what we intended to do. I don't think we've necessarily finished that item.
Madam Chair, we have some instructions from the House on a way that they would like that done, and we have determined what that scaling would be. If you'd like me to share that, it's in my briefcase, but I have it with me.
Mr. Held, as long as you're at the table, I have a question about the letter that Commissioner Ludeman sent to us.
Yes, Madam Chair.
In regarding to rebasing. The letter said that any rebasing proposal should include rebasing of property, not just the operating costs. In my discussions with you as we've gone through the session regarding this issue, you've told us that rebasing of property would have to take place at a later time, that we are not ready to rebase property at this time.
Madam Chair, I think the letter from the Commissioner was a general statement about some of the issues and mentioned property, but I don't recall it saying specifically when it needed to be rebased. And
it said any proposal that's adopted by the legislature to do rebasing of nursing homes should include rebasing of property.
And, Madam Chair, I believe that Mr. Gill has language that we recommended to do that.
To rebase property or to study it?
We provided recommended language on actually rebasing it.
I see. And does that have a fiscal impact?
Madam Chair, we don't know what the fiscal impact would be, but we believe that it would be reduced spending for the state.
Would it reduce the fiscal impact of the phase-in?
Madam Chair, it would not affect the fiscal impact of the phase-in unless you did it sooner than what we suggested. It could, if you wanted to do it simultaneously, it could be done phased in the same way that the operating rates are being phased in. I don't know that it would be advisable to rebase property all in one step while you're phasing in operating in over 5 years.
So your recommendation to the conference committee about property would have it be included in the rebasing beginning when?
Well, what we recommended, I believe, was to rebase it, I believe, in 2014, which was after the five-year phase-in in the Senate version of the phase-in of rebasing was complete. But like I say, if you start your rebasing of operating in 09, you could also start rebasing property in 09 as well.
Mr. Gill, I think it might be appropriate at this time to have this amendment distributed. I don't think the Senate has seen this amendment, so since the department seems to have an amendment to the Senate position, I think it'd be nice if everybody could at least have it in their homework pile.
Madam Chair, I...
Members, I'm told that it's part of a longer amendment. Mr. Gill has it in his office that includes other issues that the department would like to have amended onto the Senate position. And I guess I think it'd be good to have all of the amendment distributed so we have all of those things in front of us so we know what they are and what the amendment says.
Madam Chair, I believe I misspoke. I think I said that that would begin 2014. It's 2011 on this draft of the amendment for the rebasing of property.
Well, at any rate, back to the basic question we had before we started, my question, the rebasing of operating costs in the Senate proposal is, I mean, it works. I mean, it's a proposal that works, right?
The rebasing of operating?
Yes.
The rebasing of operating, I'm not sure what you mean by it works.
Well, it's implementable. It doesn't have inflators built into it that would cause future increases that the governor's letters and the department letters keep referring to.
The Senate version does not have the inflation indices built in to be applied as part of the rebasing formula. The department's concern is that there are aspects of the proposal that we feel could be very inflationary, regardless of whether those inflation factors are built in. And these recommendations are efforts to address those as well as we've been able to understand them in the limited time we've had to evaluate this. What rebasing does without any inflation factors and without any disparity adjustments being made is it has a general fund annual cost when it's fully implemented of approximately $52-53 million per year. And when you consider federal match and the additional revenues facilities would get from private pay, that's about $169 million a year that facilities are apparently spending today that are not part of their Medicaid rates. And the question that begs in our minds is, how could this industry spend $169 million that it doesn't have and continue to operate? And, of course, the industry has told us that they're in financial jeopardy, and we don't challenge whether that's true or not. However, the nursing home industry has about a 98.5% annual survival rate, which suggests that they're getting that $169 million that is being reported as costs and would be part of the rebased rates, even after the limits. They're getting that money from somewhere, and so we've tried to analyze where we think some of that money is coming from and provide some suggestions to deal with that. Property is one of those suggestions. And the reason why, and we don't have an evaluation that tells us how much is related to property, but the reason why we believe that there is money in property payment rates is because when facilities went into the APS program, which is rate on rate, no longer had to have rates based on actual costs, they were able to refinance debt in some cases back in the late 90s, especially at much lower interest rates than they had been paying on their debt earlier. And those lower interest rates resulted in lower cost to the facility, but it had no effect on their property payment rate that was set by the state. And so that was money that was then available either to be turned into profit, but more likely to be used to supplement operations. That's exactly what the APS and program was intended to do, was to enable facilities to manage their finances, manage their operations to the best of their ability without micromanagement on the part of the state. As we move back to a cost-based system, however, and those monies have in some cases been spent on operating costs, those dollars will be built into the operating payment rate. We will continue, however, to pay them on the property payment rate, so we're double paying some of those costs. And that allows the facility to collect those revenues again, spend them further on their operating payment rate, and spend it up so that next time it gets rebased, it'll go up because they've had this, that resource. Property is one of the pieces of that $169 million. This amendment is addressing several of the other pieces of that as well. For example, it talks about the plan closure rate adjustments and the single bed incentives. These are bed closure incentives that the state has provided over the last few years that have been put into the payment rate and provided money that's available for operating. If that money is then paid out as part of the operating payment rate and continues, as this proposal has it doing, in the external fixed payment rate, it's then available to spend up. And that one we have evaluated, and we believe it accounts for about $12 million of cost per year. Madam Chair, those I believe are the two items in here that are related to this inflationary effect that I was talking about. There's some other items in this amendment that I think are also important. It looks like members are getting copies now. Would you like me to walk through some of the other parts of it?
I guess so, Mr. Held. I think what would have been really nice, though, would have been if you would have given the Senate a memo and the amendment before we had it brought to our attention in this committee.
Okay.
I think we're too late for that, though, so let's go ahead.
Madam Chair, I talked about property, which is on lines 1.5 through 12. On lines 114 through 16 is some language to reinstate the allowed cost language that talks about reasonableness but provides some better definition for it. This is language, by the way, that we have talked to the industry about. I don't believe they objected to this little section of a couple lines. On lines 120 through 132 is a suggestion that the system have a performance-related aspect to it, that essentially the idea is that the care-related limit, which goes up to 120% of the median, of the median operating care-related rate, should be limited or expanded depending on the quality or performance of the facility, that a high-performing facility should perhaps be allowed a higher limit. A low-performing facility should not be allowed quite so high of a limit. The 120% of the median is about the 88th percentile by our analysis. The next section is called Determination of Proximity Adjustments. And what this does is it says when you define peer groups as this does, it's somewhat similar to the geographic groups that have aroused so much controversy over recent years, that a basic nature of that controversy has to do with facilities that are in very close proximity to each other but have a line going between them that says on one side of the line you get a high limit, on the other side of the line you get a lower limit because you're in different peer groups, and that limit is determined for your peer group and its statistical measure. What this does is it says if they're in close proximity, then the facility that has that lower limit would kind of get shifted up a little bit depending on how many miles apart they are. It creates a kind of a gray zone, which we hope will reduce some of the complaints about the proximity issue. The next section on 215 through 228 deals with specialized care, and it allows the commissioner a pool of money to negotiate with facilities that are saying that they need to have a higher spending limit. It would allow us to increase a spending limit up to 50% for facilities that care for a particularly unique and costly population and have a specialized program to meet their needs, and also has us look at the kind of outcomes that they're achieving in that program. And then The next two sections deal with the bed closure incentives that I already talked about.
Well, I think we probably need to take a look at this, try and digest it a little bit, and we might have questions for you later.
Okay.
Are there any questions at this time?
I have one.
Representative Huntley.
Madam Chair, Mr. Hill, how did this relate to the steps that we've done in the Senate rebasing proposal and the dollars that could be added in the out years?
Madam Chair, Representative Huntley, the elements of this that would affect the fiscal note, I believe, take effect after the phase-in is over. The property thing is October 2011, which is fiscal year 2012.
Madam Chair and Mr. Hill, I meant the language that was in the Senate bill, or is in the Senate bill right now. Do you agree with their fiscal assessment of the amount of money that they could add with rebasing after the this biennium? They're doing. My understanding is that if they start rebasing in the second year of this biennium, that it would be very difficult for them to add anything in the next biennium. I may be not understanding what I was told correctly, but that
I'm not sure if I'm understanding the question. Are you asking if they can do a spend up?
Well, I don't.
Representative Huntley, really, what we're doing is we're taking the basic rebasing proposal, and we're phasing it in over 5 years. And I think, you know, it's pretty clear to me that if we're ever going to rebase, that we would never be able to do it all in one biennium. And I think the Senate was persuaded that there is a crying need for rebasing our facilities. And I believe that we've pretty much generally screwed up the entire reimbursement system because we've had all these individual bills and, you know, creating, you know, different regions and different parts of the state that may or may not have been warranted. And so I think, you know, that it probably would be good if we could rebase and get everybody being paid fairly based on a new system. But what the Senate tried to do is just phase it in based on the amount of money that we would have had available for COLA, so that over that period of time we're just reinvesting that same amount of money in creating a different payment system that's rebased.
Madam Chair, I think I might have an idea what Representative Huntley is asking about. I think, if I might ask you, during the 5 years when rebasing is occurring, well, let me try it this way. When the whole phase-in is done and rebasing occurs every other year, according to this proposal, if a facility increases its spending during the reporting year, then its rate will go up during the rate year that is determined off that report year. That's called a spend-up. Are you asking if there's an opportunity to do a spend-up during the phase-in period?
Well, I guess there are some other individuals from the department that have provided the House with information that the Senate has not seen in regard to strange effects that can happen under a rebasing proposal. And I haven't seen that until Representative Huntley just handed it to me. But, you know, we weren't trying to build in any strange effects into a rebasing proposal here. Some of the concerns that Mr. Held has raised tonight are concerns that he's talked to me about, and they were concerns that were addressed in the original House language with study language to try to address those concerns. And so, you know, we didn't know you were going to take your proposal off the table, so we thought there might be an opportunity to pick up some of that language. But I don't think this is, as far as I know, this is not a trick proposal where some facility can game the system. Maybe we could just yield to Mr. Godfrey.
Madam Chair, members, just to give you a little more background on what the Senate line contains for this item, this is a situation where essentially the spreadsheet has gotten ahead of the language. We've had a number of new costs come along that we needed to account for in this proposal. The elderly waiver caps, for instance, we've mentioned how those affect the cost of this proposal and the tails. So as we get these new numbers in and have new assumptions about this proposal from a fiscal standpoint, we've had to adjust the numbers in the spreadsheet. We haven't had an opportunity to actually see the numbers that we're holding in the spreadsheet, how we can adjust. I mean, once we finally settle on a number for that particular line, we'll adjust the language to match the numbers that we've held for this proposal in the spreadsheet. So it may mean, for instance, that in order to smooth this out so there isn't really a dip in the phase-in period of rebasing, then perhaps the amount in fiscal year 09 for the proposal would have to be lower than it currently is and maybe slightly higher in the tails. But right now, because of we're in the midst of trading offers and because we haven't really settled the whole picture of the long-term care payment adjustments, whether they be rebasing or the COLA, then we're just placing the money there and waiting for kind of a final determination on that policy.
Madam Chair, I think I'm aware. I can't see the paper that's getting handed back and forth,
well,
but I think I know what it is.
Greg Tabell.
And it talks about a 40% the first year or 42% and then 1% the next year. Is that the concern? That was based on an erroneous understanding. And the cost of the first year on the spreadsheet right now is $18,630. To reach that cost in the first year where it goes into effect October 1st, so there's 8 out of 12 months of cost, the next year tail from that increase would be about $27 million or so. The spreadsheet has $28 million, and so the misunderstanding was whether that was another 1% or rolling it back to 1%. But, in fact, it would be somewhere going from around 40% to about 50%. And I do have those numbers with me of what that those phase-in percentages would be. If you went to a number in the second year of the phase-in that was lower than the tails of the first year, then you'd have to roll back rates. That's not what's occurring with these numbers. So it was based on a confusion that was straightened out probably in the middle of the afternoon today.
So, members, have you ever had a kind of a moving target of a fiscal note on an item in your bill before? Yeah. So
it was a fascinating discussion, though.
So, you know, we're sure by the time we get done with this conference committee, we will have the numbers firmed up.
Well, Madam Chair, as I said, we sort of liked the rebasing, but then we got this memo, and it didn't look like it was going to work. So,
well, at least
we came up with another idea.
At least we've cleared that up. I think the memo was an erroneous memo. Any other questions about Senator Pretner Solon?
Madam Chair, I'm not sure what we intend to do with this amendment, but as you were discussing, and I wasn't clear, it sounded like when you were assuming that with rebasing we might do away with the tiered system of payments, and yet the amendment refers to peer groups, facility peer and facility type groups, and I'm just wondering.
Actually, when I made that statement, Senator Pretner Solon, I did not. It was an erroneous statement. I wasn't fully. I did not fully understand that the proposal did still have. It does still have tiers in the proposal.
But, Madam Chair, is that? I thought that was the purpose of rebasing. Really, was?
No, the purpose of rebasing is to give nursing homes a system that eliminates disparities among nursing homes in the same area of the state, and B, pays nursing homes what their costs are and has a mechanism to update that every 2 years.
Madam Chair, I agree, but there's an arbitrary system of tiers at this point, as we have adopted language that moves different groups of nursing homes into tiers.
Well, Senator Pretner Solon, this was your bill, so maybe you want to go look at your bill. You know, I'm not going to try and defend your bill with you now. Any further questions of Mr. Held? Well, if not,
sure.
I think that...
I have one question, and it's going back to the letter from Cal Ludeman of today regarding the underfunding of fiscal notes. Are there any of them that you're aware of? I mean, he says that they have provided fiscal staff a list of provisions for which the fiscal impact is being tracked by us at less than the fiscal amount noted, and we haven't been provided that list, and I'd really like to see it. Is this one of those items?
Madam Chair, Senator Lurie, I believe there may be people in the room that could answer that question from the department. I am not able to do that.
While someone is coming forward, I might add that the letter indicated that the list was attached, and none of us got any attachments. So,
Madam Chair,
I'm not sure how much we should worry about it. However, we don't always agree that everything should be funded. I mean, the letter complains about positions being added to the department because of new proposals, but we think sometimes those fiscal note requests for positions are inflated. So,
Madam Chair, the list has been provided to staff and was not provided as an attachment to the letter. We would be happy to provide the list to members, however. And in this particular area, the rebasing proposal in the Senate position was not fully funded, in particular in relationship to FTEs, as you had suggested earlier.
Well, you know, you can't have it both ways, you know. You can't tell us that we're not funding the FTEs properly and then telling us that we're creating too many FTEs in the bill.
Madam Chair, if I could speak to that particular provision in the letter, I think that the overall concern that was expressed is the growth in the programs that require additional staffing levels associated with them. But does not suggest that the way to solve that would be to understaff the proposals.
Madam Chair.
Representative Walker.
You know, I wasn't going to say anything, but I love that last comment, and I just couldn't resist just putting it on record. I think that it's very interesting, and while we may have differences of opinion as it relates to the FTEs, but this is my seventh year on Health and Human Services, and I have watched the enormous amount of FTEs by both departments where special projects are done. However, we don't, when those projects are done, they just, those positions stay. We don't know what they do. But whenever we want to add something, all of a sudden there's a problem with the addition of our FTEs. I think there is a discrepancy on how the departments are trying to work in a collaborative manner, working with the legislature and understanding that it's not just about the department and expanding programs. It's about a working collaborative effort.
Anyway, since the letter said that there was a list attached and we got no list, I think it might be good if you would provide the conference committee members the list.
Madam Chair.
Because we are the ones that make the decisions about these items. It's not our staff.
Yes, Madam Chair. We will get the list to you.
Any other questions? Seeing none, then I think that we need to adjourn until a time tomorrow morning.
8:30.
We are suggesting 8:30. So with that, the meeting will be adjourned.